God morning. God morning. he gets the glory. May his word just be amazing today. Pastor has been doing a series on anxiousness and anxious hearts. And so he's been challenging us. And I know I've been challenged through all of this to really get into a deeper relationship with my Lord and Savior. I don't think you're ever done growing and learning. And so today we're doing part three. I know he will be back next week, and we're starting in September a whole new series, and he's excited about that, but we want to keep them in prayer as they are away at a pastor's conference. So in a refreshing for them. Oh. When trust feels impossible, a prayer for desperate faith. What we're going to talk about is trust. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 25. We're going to share a little time with King David, same guy that slayed Goliath, same guy that made mistakes, same guy that was an incredibly gifted leader and focused his heart on God, but he was not perfect. He'd made mistakes. Pastor Jeremy's talked to us a little bit about kind of his history. And today I want to focus on trust. And so read with me as we go through this. In you, Lord, my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame. But shame will come on those who are treacherous without any cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. Father, we just come before you to worship you and gain what you want us to know today. Reach into our hearts. Stir us to come closer to you in trust and in love. Show us your word as it glorifies you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I need to be honest with you right up at the start, and that is that there are days when trusting God seems impossible, questionable, challenging. Anybody else? Yeah, I got some hands in the back. Yeah, good. I'm not alone. It is more difficult to trust God on days when we're hurting, when we are angry, when we're alone, we're disappointed, when nothing seems to be going right. It's more of a challenge. And so I look outside of the world, right? We're living in 2025. We don't trust politicians. Does anybody, you get that, right? We don't trust the media, institutions. We barely sometimes even trust each other. Sometimes even those closest to us. And so social media has taught us not to trust anything. AI makes everything seem real, and it's not. So how do we trust? Who do we trust? How do we negotiate that? Especially when maybe we've been burned by somebody that we counted on the most, and they disappointed us. Here's what really messes with me, and that is that the people who hurt us sometimes the most are the ones that were supposed to love us. Didn't love us the way that we thought they would. It hurts. Family, siblings, spouses, friends, even pastors. When the people closest to you break your trust, how are you supposed to trust an invisible God? Because your heart's broken. But today, we're going to bring some hope, and we're going to look at what King David did. I want you to see something that actually changed my perspective, and that is David writes what we just read in his desperation. This isn't a time when he is feeling good and everything's going positive. It's not a Sunday declaration when you're feeling God. It wasn't everything going right. Currently, if you read in the Psalms, David's struggling. He has sinned against God. He's not perfect. He's worried. Enemies are coming at him. He's being challenged. He's afraid. And he cries out in desperation to God. So this isn't just a soft, gentle, gee, help me. He's crying out in desperation for God. And that's where I want you to see this picture of who David is. Can you relate? How do we trust when trust feels impossible, even dangerous? Well, before we dive in, I do want you to know that where David wrote this, it's an acrostic psalm. So when he writes it, he's literally, acrostic means that he's writing something that's following the Hebrew alphabet so that it creates structure. Because sometimes when our life seems chaotic and out of control, we need structure. We need something to make sense. And so David, in reading how it's written in the original languages, it's a structure based on the Hebrew alphabet, an acrostic psalm. He's methodical about his prayers because he's fallen apart and he needs to be focused and have something rock solid. He's surrounded by his enemies. He is literally, they want to destroy him. He's worried about his past, which is haunting him because he's made grave mistakes. Right? His failures are staring him right in the face. That ever happened to you? It has to me. Absolutely. Verse 1 and 2, he says, "In you, Lord my God, I trust. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me." He's afraid of failure. Okay? There's a Hebrew word that is batach. Batach. It means to trust completely, to feel safe, to be confident. But David's using these words, this batach, in the midst of his lack of trusting. He doesn't feel safe. He doesn't feel confident. But he pulls this word as his strength because that means he's leaning fully into God and not on his own. Sometimes we have to do that because we don't have anything left. Okay? He's saying, "God, I feel really trusting today." He's not really saying that. What he's saying instead is, "God, I'm choosing to trust you through every fiber of my being, even though I want to run and hide." Sometimes we have to step out of the comfort and just reach out because we're not feeling it, right? But the first thing I wanted to point out is that we need to understand about biblical trust. It's different than our own personal trust, okay? Trust is a decision before it's a feeling, okay? Our feelings change. He never does, okay? So stop waiting to feel like trusting God and start choosing to trust him now. It's a choice, even though we're not feeling it, okay? I want you to take a minute in your mind, seriously. Think about, right now, what is your biggest fear? Just think about it. What's your biggest fear? What's challenging you the most at 3 a.m. when you can't sleep? Name it in your head. Maybe more than one. Now I want you to say this out loud with me. God, I choose to trust you with, and don't say with, and then silently give that over to him. I choose to trust you with that. It might feel awkward. That's okay, because you're doing it rightly. It feels awkward because that's a feeling. Choice is intentional to take it to him. So we notice that David's next move, he gets really vulnerable. He doesn't want to be ashamed. Don't put me to shame, Lord. You know what he's really saying is, if I trust you, are you going to come through? How many times have we done that to God? He didn't come through the way we expected, so do we not trust him? No. What if people laugh at me for believing in you, professing my faith? Well, Pastor talked about that last week. That's shame. They want to bring shame on us, right? That's shame. We're letting that go. Okay? We're afraid to trust because we're afraid of maybe looking stupid. We don't want to look stupid. We live in a culture that mocks faith, and it tells us that if we believe in God, what if? You're naive. You don't know. There's no God. The world's telling everybody that. We're hearing that. They're trying to silence people who have faith. But here's what I've learned. I'd rather be a fool who trusts God than a cynic who trusts in nothing. He is my rock. He is my rock. So I'm going to give you a little homework this week. Thought you were off the hook, right? Pop quiz, right? Every morning I want you to get up, name your biggest worry, and say this: God, I choose to trust you with this. Okay? Because I am what I believe, not what I feel. My feelings change. Okay? As women, I think they change a lot more often. Right? We can be all over the place. But I'm choosing every morning to give it over to him, even before I get up. I'm saying, you are my God. I trust you before I even get out of bed to take care of the big things, the little things, the everythings. Okay? We need to develop a community of trust. And in verses 2 and 3, we read that David says, no one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame. But shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Notice what happens. He goes from saying, I trust, to saying, no one who hopes in you. So it's not just David. He says, all of us who call you Lord, hope for this. We need you. He realizes he's not alone. Because, quite frankly, we're not the only ones learning how to trust. Okay? You're part of a community that goes back thousands of years. Think about Abraham. He trusted God with Isaac. Right? Moses trusted God at the Red Sea. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego trusted God in the furnace. And Mary trusted God for an impossible pregnancy. Deep trust. Full on trust. Were they ever put to shame? No. Because God had a plan. And God was already at work. We are part of a community who wants immediate answers. We don't get those. They don't come immediately. They don't come in our timing, because his timing is not our timing. And although we can't see what he's going to manifest, we still have to trust that he's already at work on it. Okay? Here's what I want you to really understand is that when you choose to trust God, you are joining the greatest community in history of believers who've had their prayers answered in sometimes ways that manifested larger than they could have ever even imagined. You're also surrounded here by all these witnesses that we are all collectively learning the same lessons, right? We're all working on it together. So David makes this promise, okay? Shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Woo! God sees the people who have broken your trust. He already heard it. He already knows it. In fact, deeper than that, he knows their motivation of their heart when they said it. And he will be the one who holds them into accountability. It isn't our job to get revenge. We want to push the ha-ha, you got what you deserve button. But he calls us not to do that. He says, trust me. I will take care of it. So you let it go. So our job is to forgive and keep trusting God that he actually is who he says he is, and he's going to do what he said he's going to do. That's not our job. I'm not perfect, and I am certainly not God. He is. I trust in him. But we all need a little guidance. We need to have God show us the way. So how do we do that? So Psalm 4 and 5, verses 4 and 5. King David says, show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior. My hope is in you all day long. We're setting him on a place where he belongs, where we need to, in reverence, truly believe who he is. And if he's that big God who says that he measures the universe in the palm, the breadth, the width of his hand, how big is our God? Our universe, it says, fits in the palm of his hand. Is he too big to handle what we need? Is he too large to care about us? No. He's already here. He's already tomorrow. He's already in next week. He's already manifesting the plans for our lives. So when we acknowledge how big he is, that helps us to be able to let go of things and trust him. Truly lean into him. David's saying basically, show me, Lord. Teach me. Guide me. Teach me again. Keep showing me. Sometimes we have to say, like David, I admit, I don't know what I'm doing. But I can sure mess it up if I try. So I have to hand it over to him. It's very humbling. David could have said, God, help me figure this out. But instead, he says, God, I need you to teach me. Show me how. And teach me how to trust you, Lord. Wow. There's three things that we can kind of use as a way for practical steps. Every morning before you check your phone, okay? I've started plugging mine out in the kitchen. It's not in the bedroom. Right? So don't reach right over, okay? We say, God, I don't know what today holds, but I want to learn your ways. I want you to teach me your precepts. Help me to know. The second, it's a decision filter. It means before every major decision that you make, ask, what would trusting God look like in this choice? Because I need to trust you. So teach me. Take it to him before you make the decision, so that he can help you negotiate through it. And in the evening, before you go to bed, say, where did I trust today? Be intentional. Like, focus on, where did I trust you today? Where did I consciously say, Lord, I'm giving you this. Okay? I truly am going to trust you today. Where did I do that? Where did I try to control instead of trusting? Ooh. Did I take control over this, Lord? Or did I trust you through it? We need to look at ourselves sometimes in the mirror more closely. when we really evaluate where we need to be in the presence of our Almighty God. Okay? David's final phrase in that verse is, "My hope is in you all day long." How many times a day do you pray? Morning? Evening? Before a meal? Do we think about him in the in-between times? Do we seek him in even small things that we're deciding at work or at school or wherever we are? Are we seeking his presence? Calling upon him? How connected are we? We're talking about the most important relationship that we will ever have in our lives and in eternity. How much time do we spend? Do we spend as much time with God, calling on him, talking to him, conversing with him, praying in his word? Do we spend as much time doing that as we do on our phone? Or on social media? Or in front of the television? Sometimes we got to weigh it out. Okay? Are we giving him our full attention? Are we giving him our full self? Okay? Pastor's always talking about discipleship, and this is really our discipleship of trust between us and God. Because if we can't trust God, how are we going to trust anybody else? Okay? Because we're human. We fail. And we fail each other. Okay? And so we've got to learn that we have to depend on him moment by moment, decision by decision, worry by worry, regardless of how we feel at any given moment. Because we are not our feelings. We are what we know and what we believe. Okay? And what is true. Okay. Let's go to verses 6 and 7. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. Ooh, he is so good. This is where I think David gets really vulnerable, and sometimes we have to do that ourselves. Be willing to be vulnerable. He says, God, I've messed up big time. I got a history. I have a past. We all do. We've all said and done things that we wished we would not have, that we can't take back. We've hurt other people. We've made choices that were not right before the eyes of God. There's not one of us who is sinless, right? And yet, we all have sins of our youth, decisions that we made when we were young and foolish. But God. David doesn't minimize his failures. He does own them. He acknowledges them before God, on his face before the Lord. He's honest with God. Face it, we need to be honest. He's already seen it. He already heard it. And he already saw our heart. So where are we now? How are we stepping out of that and into his presence? And you might think, oh, I don't deserve to do that because I've not been perfect. I failed God too many times. But God. But Jesus. Right? You, Pastor said it and continues to say it. Come as you are. He'll work on you from the inside out. Okay? Because none of us is perfect. So David refers to the qualities that are from of old. This is not new. God is not surprised. God already sees. He's already here. He already has a plan. God isn't having a bad day because you're having a bad day. He loves us. He desires us. For those of you who have had children or parents or grandparents of little ones, when they come to you and they're like, and you pick them up and you hold them, that is some of the most precious and dear moments that we have. That feeling that we get when we hold those little ones. How much greater is God feeling when we come to him with our failures and we need to be held? We need to be restored. We need to just be refreshed and accepted and loved. God gives us that freedom. You can trust him because God operates in what Pastor Jeremy calls the grace culture, not the world's culture. His culture is grace and forgiveness, restoration, love. He doesn't take shattered pieces and scotch tape them back together. He doesn't take our brokenness and just, you know, tie it all back or glue it like a shattered mirror that's been glued back together. He says what? He makes all things new. So he looks at our past and says, Jesus. He triumphs where in mercy. Okay? He says, you can trust God even when you fail before, because your past does not disqualify you from your present self. We are to be different. We are to be changed. We are to give up those things. Okay? And step into accepting we aren't perfect, but he loves us. He doesn't care about all that. If we truly repent and walk away from that and walk into his grace and love, he's already erased that because he's changed our heart for him, for good. And we seek that. We want to be in that presence. So the freedom is that you can trust God even when you failed before. So we can pray like David. We can say, Lord God, remember your love for me. Don't remember my failures. You are good. And that's why I can trust you. Because he never changes. He's always good. But he desires that we seek him in that as well. Right? Your trust doesn't have to be based on your circumstances. It's based on, instead, God's character. It's based on who he is. We don't have to be perfect. Even when life is chaotic, God's goodness never changes. It's just constant. So instead of beating ourselves up and trashing ourselves, we have the ability to step in because of Christ into God's goodness and be surrounded by his love, his comforting encouragement. We operate in his realm of forgiveness and grace instead of beating ourselves up, because we can be really good at that, right? At least I can. Here's the ultimate trust story. Jesus is the perfect truster. Look what he did. He went through life here on earth, embodied as the Son of Man, and he still fully trusted God. He cried out to God. He cried. He wept. He felt what we felt. And yet, even hanging on a cross, abandoned by his friends, denied, he prays, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." He doesn't lose trust in who God is. He doesn't wane in his belief and knowledge as a human man in what God is about to do. And he continues to trust him. Can you imagine the feelings he held at that moment? He'd been tortured. He'd been beaten. He'd been scorned. He'd been abandoned. He'd been mocked. He'd been lied about. They'd taken everything from him, stripped him in front of all others, and put him up where everybody could see the mockery. And they were taking his life. And he still trusted God. He left the perfect example. He's the perfect truster. Because it didn't matter what they did to him. He never let go of the trust he had in the Father and the plan the Father had. and he was willing to go to his death for it. Okay? Jesus is the perfectly trustworthy one. Because of what he did, he proved God's character. He is also God. And he sits at the right hand of the Father. And so we can trust in him. We can look to him and know that that sometimes is the only thing that we can trust in this crazy world, surrounded by people who disappoint us. A world that's just, I'm not even sure there's one word to describe it, all that's going on. So how do we do that? We have to look at the cross. When you wonder if God can be trusted, look at the cross. Because what he's saying is, I will risk everything, everything for you. I did this for you. And that's never changed. It's never changed. They've tried to undermine it. There's so many documents in history that now support and show the truth of what happened. Others can deny it. My grandson asked me, what about people that don't believe? How come? He said, there are some people who choose not to believe because they don't want to step in and be accountable. They don't want to change. But God still loves them anyway. He loves them as much as he loves us. And he desires that relationship. Okay? Your trust failures don't disqualify you. They qualify you for his grace. That's why we need his grace. You can trust in God because Jesus has already taken the ultimate risk for every one of us. He already took it. So it's risk-free. Wow. How powerful. Sometimes we say that we're a Christian. We accept that God is our Lord and Savior. We pray. We try and live rightly. We do things. But I've found, at least for me, there are times when I still hold on to things. And I wanted to show you, because sometimes people are visual learners. And so, the cross. We don't worship a cross, okay? But we do worship the price that was paid on the cross. And so, we have our life, our little things that we have, that we carry, things that have been put into our wagon. So we can walk with Christ, have him in our heart, pray, read our Bible. But how many times have all of us still held on to something that hurts? Yeah, all of us, right? Sometimes these things are hard to let go of because they became comfortable to hold on to. And so, the message of trust is, do we really give it over? Do we really let go of things? Because if we hold on to things, we can't hold on to the cross. So, as a Christian, I have to make a choice. I have to make a choice to say, I'm going to let go of my pride. And I'm grateful that God has humbled me. And I could lay that at the foot of the cross. About my guilt, my shame, if I choose to lay it down and give it over to him, it means I have to let it go. Anger. But God, you didn't see what they did or what they said. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Tender my heart, Lord. But you don't understand how bad my heart hurts because I've lost somebody that I love deeply. Why? Maybe it was a child, spouse, sibling, somebody we love deeply. That hurts. How can I trust you, Lord, when I'm so broken right now? So I give it over to you. Doubt. We all have doubts. We doubt in ourselves. We doubt in others. We have to give it over. Whew. Sometimes our feelings leave us depressed. We have stress. But as I begin to give these over to God, he can take these and work on my behalf. Jealousy. How come it's always easier for everybody else? Why is it so hard for me? Why is my life such chaos when everybody else seems to have a great life? Everything seems to go right for them, but not me. How come? There's so many things happening. I'm jealous. It's not fair. Life's not fair. But he has a plan. So we have to let go of feeling jealous. Fear and worry. There was a big one. Woo! 365 times in the Bible, he tells us, do not worry. Do not be afraid. So why do we keep holding on to this one? This is a hard one. This one I have picked back up myself and put it back in my wagon and carried it. How many times have we all done that? We got to give it over to him. And that means we give it over and we don't pick it back. And this one, this is hard. Unforgiveness. Ooh. This one weighs the most. Because this is a choice to say, no, they don't deserve it. Guess what? Neither do I. We have to forgive. It's not for the person that hurt you. It's for you. It is his gift to each one of us. Because when we choose to say, Lord, I know you saw it. You know how it made me feel. You know how badly it hurt. And I'm going to give it over to you. I'm going to trust that you saw it and you'll take care of it. I trust you with my feelings. I trust you with my hurt. I trust you with my pain. And I let it go. Being able to do this one was hard. And it took a long time. But in it, in doing that, in giving it to him, not only was I doing what he called me to obediently do, but the freedom. I have people who have wronged me so badly. I carried it for years, and I was the only one in jail. I was the only one suffering because they didn't even give it another thought. I've had people who purposefully were unkind. I've been hurt by people at church, and I've been able to let that go. And I literally, now, because of letting that go, I feel compassionate, tender love. for those people. I pray good things for them. I love on them. I'm kind to them. And I feel no harbor and no more hurt. The pain is gone. And it's only by him that I've been able to do that. Only by his grace and his love and his forgiveness for me and trusting him with all this. Okay? He's the answer. But we have to trust him with all this and not keep picking it up and putting it in the wagon and pulling it along, because that gets heavy. It weighs heavy on our hearts. It slows us down. It keeps us from moving forward. It slows our relationship with a God who wants us to be over here, because he's got a plan for every one of us, a plan to prosper and bless. And what I found was when I cleaned out my wagon, and I don't hold on to these things anymore, what I end up with are the fruits of the Spirit. How do you have joy in the midst of chaos? Jesus. You begin to experience peace. You begin to feel loved. You can have patience. Okay? He gives us plenty of opportunities to practice it, and he equips us for it. Kindness, gentleness, and self-control. That's a challenging one, because if you don't have self-control, sometimes you don't have all the rest. But what comes is hope and healing through trust. Laying it at the foot of the cross. So, are you ready to do that? Somebody's right here. Are you willing to do that? Let's see if those will stand up. What's been holding you back? What came to mind that you know you need to let go of? What do you need to lay at the foot of the cross and let go of it and trust him with it so that you can move forward in your relationship healed and whole? We've got to stop picking things up and putting them back in our wagon. And that takes trust. So, that's what I call you today. That's what Jeremy wanted to tell you. And know, have you know, that through trust there's healing. There's hope. And it's from him. And you deserve it. Because he did it for you. Right? So, every head bowed. I want to close with an invitation. Every eye closed. Just open your heart. Let God work on you. Just be in his presence. Maybe you're here today and you've never fully trusted God with your life. You've been hurt by people, maybe even by church people. Maybe you built walls around your heart. It's time to tear them down. Today is the day to pray David's prayer for the first time yourself. You can trust Jesus with your eternity because he already proved his love at the cross. You've never given your life fully over to him. You've been holding back. Just raise your hand. Today's the day, Lord. Today's the day. Thank you. See you. For those of us who follow Jesus, what area of your life are you refusing to trust God with? What are you holding back? It's time to stop playing it safe and doing it on our own and start living by faith in a God we can trust. I want you to, I'm going to go through David's prayer, and I want you to repeat this after me. God, I choose to trust you, even when I don't feel it. Show me your ways. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth. Remember your love for me, not my failures. You are good, and that's enough. I'm learning to trust. Help my unbelief. Ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Trust is a choice before it is a feeling. And as we learn and choose to trust Him with everything in our life, we begin to lighten our load. We take His yoke on, which is light. It's not a burden, it's a joy. When we truly let go and stop picking this stuff up and holding on to it, you might be able to come up with a few more titles of things that you want to let go. Maybe it's a relationship with somebody that you're hurting over. It's time to let that go and trust God with it. Pray about it. Pray good things for that person, not their demise. Pray for good things. The blessings that you would want somebody to pray for you is what you pray for the people who've hurt you, because it tenders and changes your heart to love others, which is what He calls us to do. But it takes trust. We're all learning to trust Him. But as long as we continue to acknowledge that He is a good, good, good God who is more than able to take it from us and to take care of it, it makes it easier to know and to let go and to trust Him the way that we're called to do it. I'm honored to be here to just glorify God. He is such a good God, and I have walked through this more than once. Some things I have to learn the hard way. Ask my husband. It's true. But He's tendered my heart, and I can tell you the love I have for the hurt that I've suffered is the joy that's in my heart. And I'm grateful for the healing that has happened. And I'm grateful to God that He is a good God who loves us every moment of every day. Let's act like we're more trusting. Let's call upon ourselves and each other. Call somebody that you might pray with. Call upon somebody that can hold you in accountability, somebody you can share with. We're not meant to do things alone. We're to come alongside. So if you call somebody and say, "Hey, I'm working on trust, and I want to have an accountability person. I'll pray for you, and you pray for me as I learn how to trust God more. Let's do this together. Let's walk through this, so that we can support each other through it." Because He will equip you sometimes through people that say the sweetest things, and you're like, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you." Let's be a trusting people. Let's learn to trust God more. Give Him our all, not a part of our heart, but the whole thing. And if we trust Him more, then let's look like we live it. Okay? Amen? Amen.